This is the Bob Davis Podcast, the new talk podcast 378. I am at a truck stop in, I think, Crawfordsville, Indiana. This is pretty much just a fuel stop here. And when I pulled in, there were about 12 Indiana State Police and a couple of sheriff's cars here. So I pulled the ambulance right in next to them, and they're all in there taking a break. So when they come out, maybe they'll bother me, and I'll get it on get it down on tape and include it in the podcast. And in this podcast, just going to talk about the day and what is going on. And the reason for that is, as I discovered today, Mercury is in retrograde. So we're going to talk about what a Mercury retrograde means for somebody on the road in a 15-year-old ambulance in podcast 378. Well, X Government Cars has been a sponsor of the Bob Davis Podcast since the beginning. XGovernmentCars.com. I've told you all about Ed. I've told you about XGovernmentCars.com. I've told you how I've had three Crown Vics and now this fantastic 2000 Ford Super Duty ambulance, which is great. And I am touring the country doing podcasts live. But I got to tell you, the XGovernmentCars.com grand reopening is still on. XGovernmentCars.com now has nicer, newer vehicles because Ed knows where to find the Chargers, the Impalas, the next-gen Fords, which is the new Ford police sedan, and eventually the Ford SUV. And I was skeptical of those cars at first, and then I drove one, and they are awesome. This is the new Ford police car based on the Taurus frame. But of course, they got Chargers. In fact, I'm looking at three Chargers right now from the Indiana State Police. The thing is, Ed knows where to find the good ones. Plus, they have vans and SUVs. I mentioned in a previous podcast they had an Expedition from the FBI, and I thought it was a new vehicle. I opened it up, and it was super clean. And I said, how many miles does this thing have on it? And he said 100,000. But it was super clean because it was from the FBI. So I keep talking about it because they're amazing. The bottom line is, Government Cars carries only one owner, professionally maintained government and fleet vehicles. Only XGovernmentCars.com has it all. First of all, cash deals direct from owner Ed Johnson, which means if you like a car and you really want to get it and there's some things in the way, he can help you with that. You have a 3-day satisfaction guarantee. And the main thing is financing for all levels of credit, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And you can apply online now 24/7 at XGovernmentCars.com safely and securely. You get pre-approved, and then you can look for the car that you want. So it's really all happening at XGovernmentCars.com. If you want to take a look at what they've got, 2420 Nevada Avenue North in Golden Valley, Minnesota. Don't forget the grand reopening event is on now. Everything is better at. Dare I get out the bullhorn and excite these Indiana State Police? I think I should do it.
XGovernmentCars.com.
So astrologists often talk about something called a Mercury retrograde, which is kind of silly because Mercury doesn't actually retrograde. In other words, it only appears to be going backwards to our eye, but it is in fact continuing. Mercury doesn't change its path around the sun at all, but it appears to be going backward to our eye. Don't even ask me how that's possible. It happens 2 or 3 times a year, and I used to be very skeptical of Mercury retrogrades until I always tell the story about how I was on a airplane and we were going into a Mercury retrograde, and I sat on that plane and watched everything go wrong until we finally delayed the flight because they had to fix the interphone that wasn't working properly. So I went out to see my friend Steve, who has been, we went to high school together. In fact, we used to play on the steps of the Presbyterian Church when we were little kids together. And his father was my scoutmaster, who passed away recently. And I could tell you 100 stories about Mr. Steiner, and I'm sure Steve could tell you 100 stories. In fact, he did and would tell you 1,000 stories about Mr. Steiner. But Steve is shy. And, you know, I said, we got to do a podcast at one point. And he was like, yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of a... He was a sound guy for Metallica and sound guy for other bands, did a lot of touring, and the whole family is just really interesting from the respect that I wish I could post a picture. In fact, hopefully I'll be able to post a picture because I think I'll write a blog about it, of Mr. Steiner's every single space in Mr. Steiner's house was, and we thought it was amazing when we were kids, because he had everything. He had any kind of battery that you'd want, and I'm talking about car batteries, you know, 9 and 12 volt batteries, the big batteries, you know, industrial batteries, tents, power tools, anything that you can imagine. So I was talking in the last podcast about how, you know, I got to get to Steve, who, and he lives way out south of Chicago, about 35 miles south of the city, in a rural area, has lived there for, I don't know, Steve, if you're listening, how long have you lived in out there? And I'm not going to say what town that he lives in, but it's, you know, 35, 36 miles south. And I used to cover the village board meetings out there, and my first radio station is about half a mile from their house where he lives on this farm. And we had a great time, but Steve is like wanting to put all these things in the vehicle, and we were trying to figure out how to do it. And honestly, we tried to put the Wi-Fi antenna in. We have an assembly on the roof, basically Velcro, for the Wi-Fi antenna. We couldn't get the thing to work. We these Wi-Fi antennas come with software, because the software has to be loaded into your computer. And I sat for a while and tried to figure out why that was necessary. So then we just plugged it in. It's a USB device. And I was like, I think this thing is working. So then we drove the truck all around the property, like way out in the field, to try to give it a full test. Of course, it wasn't working. And then we tried to put the radios in. So I've got a really nice little ham radio and a really nice little CB that Mr. Steiner had in one of the garages. You know, this guy had, I don't know how many garages, plus property in Wisconsin, a big, you know, sort of 40 acres of, you know, hunting land up in Wisconsin, where he had a cabin and every room and every, plus a house in this town in south of Chicago, and every room in the house was packed. And when we were kids, you know, he'd pull a tent out, or they still have the griddle from our Boy Scout trips. They had this giant iron griddle that they used to bring with us, and I remember they used to have to slide it into Mr. Mecklenburg's truck to get it up to wherever we were going. But it was great on Sunday mornings, because we had pancakes and sausage and, you know, everything on that thing, and it was great. So it was always fun, because you'd say, "Where did Mr. Steiner? Where did that come from?" And he would say, "It fell off a truck." And so we were telling a lot of stories and stuff like that. And I'm kind of upset with you, Steve, because we really should have done a podcast, and he really didn't want to do it. So anything that we did, we basically worked all day on the vehicle, and anything that we did on the vehicle today that had nothing to do with electronics worked out great. I got a whiteboard. We put that up. I got a little tiny fan here that's really neat. It's sort of a, you know, I can run the exhaust fan when the main power's on in the vehicle, right? So this is the fan that I can run normally, that I'm not going to run that. And you guys have heard that if you've been listening to the podcast. So I can run the exhaust fan. I could also run the patient heat and cool if I want, which is a lot louder. You know, that's ridiculous. But I can make it like 65 degrees in here, or 95 degrees, depending on what I need to do. And if you've ever been in an ambulance, like if you've ever been driven in an ambulance for any length of time, like when I got hit by the car, it was really great to get in the ambulance. And it was a winter night, and I was really cold, and they turned the heat on, and, you know, it's great. And the same with cooling. The cooling agent in summer when you get inside the ambulance is great. And let's see, let me reach over here and grab this. It's going to make some noise, but so this is the little fan that we put in. That's the wind. So we put, you know, it's just a little nice fan that you can have on if you're on shore power while you take a nap or something like that. And so that worked. We got that put in. And let's see what else. Oh, yeah, there was a big controversy. And I for people that are, before the trip, I one of the issues I had last time in the vehicle, and this is great if you're considering doing anything like this, or if you have a van and you're trying to figure out how you're going to outfit it, and I'm going to review, and I don't always like to do this in podcasts, but I guess I'm going to do it in this one. So why did I get this ambulance? A lot of people think I just got it because I wanted to do something crazy or whatever, and I'm going to review that. You know, I like to travel, and I don't like to fly. I like to drive places, and I like to go places in the car. I like it because I can see what's going on out in the world. And I think it's a great, for me, I think it's a great way to juxtaposition all of this stuff that I read. And funny, it's funny because today I was printing all this stuff up that I was going to read, and Steve came to the door of the vehicle. I parked right next door to the house, and he was in there with the dogs or something, and he came out and he goes, you know, you really do print a lot of stuff. I had, you know, I sat and read 100 pages of stuff today. When I left Steve's house this afternoon, I stopped at a McDonald's down the road over in Indiana. And I'm in Indiana now, obviously. So I got over to Indiana, and I was, I was reading all the stuff. And I think for some reason, I think being able to travel and get out on the road is a great way to juxtaposition, personal experience with all of this stuff that I'm reading. Because so much of what is being written is written to draw eyeballs to a page, or to make a point, or people are, you know, in the secret employ of someone else, and they're using, quote unquote journalism to persuade. So then when you get out and you actually see what's going on, you can sort of, start to try to piece it together. So at least that's how I view it. I think if I had to critique or think about the future, I think there's going to have to be a lot more actually talking to people and getting out of the vehicle and talking and spending some time in some places like I did in California when I went to Calistoga and actually talking to people. I'm going to try to do some of that in Washington on this trip because I think that's going to illuminate a little bit, especially the characters. You know, there was a woman that came up to the vehicle tonight who was probably living in her car and at the McDonald's in this town in Kentland or something, Indiana, just a little small Indiana town. And we were talking about different vehicles, and she was talking about, they had a camper at one point when she was married. I assume that her husband passed away. And she was a character. I should have just rolled tape because she was kind of a character. But anyway, so I love to travel in the vehicle and drive. And I think so what was happening was I'd drive until I was exhausted, and I'd end up sleeping in the car. And it just was terrible for me because I would exhaust myself. When I went out west the first time in the Crown Vic, I mean, I was literally exhausted when I came home. And this thing, you know, it doesn't like that because you can sleep in the back. Plus, you don't have to, I don't have to go to a hotel because I can take showers at the truck stops or go to yoga places, do yoga and take showers. And I've got a coffee maker in here. And if there's anything I want, I've got boxes full of beef jerky and apricots and what else do I have? A lot of nuts and things like that. But there was an issue I originally had, and I don't know how interested people are in this, but I just bring it up because I know some people, we talk about a little bit on Facebook a little bit, but I had sort of a single futon that I rolled out on the floor, and this is during the winter. And sleeping on the floor, even if you have like a little futon, is really kind of tough. It's kind of hard on the back, and it's not good. So I thought this time I'll get a really good air mattress and a nice cot. So I went to REI, and REI sells, I will say one thing, I got a really nice air mattress at REI. This air mattress is, self-inflating, and then you kind of blow it up a little bit yourself at the very end. But I bought a cot that's supposed to be kind of a roll-up backpack cot. I also bought it because it was the cheap one, and I should have known because it looked like it had been returned, and I should have known. This thing, first of all, if you're listening to REI, you should not be selling this cot because this thing, it has these weird struts that hold it up, and if you've seen this, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And then it comes with this plastic handle, and what you're supposed to do is you put the end of the strut into the aluminum, and the whole thing was, it's aircraft aluminum, so it's really sturdy. So you insert the one end of this aluminum strut into the aluminum spine on one side of the cot, and then you have to literally bend it to get to the other side. Well, you can't get it in if you don't literally bend it, and it took me, I was exhausted the other night when I was doing that podcast, and I was having podcast 377, all kinds of trouble getting that thing posted. And I finally got it up, but it's a terrible cot. It didn't work well, so I didn't sleep well. So today, I did what I was going to do in the first place, and that was I just went to Walmart and bought one of their cots for $34. So now I've got, and I tried it out already. This is why it's so late, and I haven't really figured out what I wanted to talk about too much, you know, except I decided I did want to talk about what happened today and the Mercury retrograde and everything. But the only, this is the other thing that we did. We drove over to Indiana, which was, you know, he lives literally almost in the middle of nowhere. So driving to Indiana, you know, when you live in the middle of nowhere, driving to the next big town turns out to be a huge, you know, kind of a, not really a hassle, but it was quite a long trip. So we drove over to Walmart, got the cot, got it set up, and, okay, so that's good, and I got that set up. So this was not an electronics thing. Well, I tried the thing out tonight. So I left where I was staying and drove, I don't know, I was getting really tired, and the sun was still up, and I drove to, what was that town in Indiana where that lady was talking to me, and I drove into a McDonald's parking lot, and I laid down and took a nap, and I slept like a baby in this thing. This is like a bed. It's great. So that's good. I got that problem solved. Then the other thing is I needed some whiteboard in here so I can keep track of what podcasts I'm doing. So I bought a whiteboard, and of course it was too big. And we cut it in half and put it up in the back. So now I've got my whiteboard up with magnetic stuff so I can put notes and stuff up there. So anything that wasn't electronic was fine. But we spent half the day messing around with electronic stuff. And I was going to drag the microphones out and set them up in the yard and stuff. And I thought, I'll do that when I get to Virginia. I thought, you know, given the fact that we're in a Mercury retrograde, I don't know if I want to start plugging in the mixer and all this other stuff. So I'm just using the portable mics, and when I get to Virginia, the retrograde is over on June 11th. So when I get to Virginia, I will set the mics up outside, and we can listen to. It's super quiet where my sister lives, out in the middle of nowhere. So it'll be great. And then it's on to Washington and Newport News. So there should be some good stuff coming up for you guys to listen to. So I looked at the news this afternoon, and the other thing that's interesting about Mercury retrogrades, according to astrologists, is that everything, it's like you're underwater. So if you've been feeling like things just aren't coming together, there was one other thing that happened. So, and if you're listening, you're going to laugh, but so we're messing around the vehicle doing stuff, and I was in the front seat, and I go to get out of the left side front seat, and the door won't open. And I'm like, what the hell? The door, it's unlocked. It won't open. And we noticed it was almost off its hinges. So I was like, we got to take this to a body shop. So we went into town, the little town, found a body shop, and went to eat while they readjusted the door. So they get the door back on. I go back to pick it up, and I walked in to pay. And the lady goes, it's going to happen again. And I was like, what? And she goes, you need a new door. Eventually, you're going to need a new door. That's going to happen again. And I said, okay, it's going to happen again, I guess. So we got the door back on, but I realized that I think part of the problem was I kind of was leaning on the door to clean the windshield, because this thing is really hard to get the windshield clean. So it's great, you know, and I don't mean to go on and on about it, but I think it's one of the cool things about this is you learn so many different systems and you learn what kinds of mistakes not to make. So this has been a great shakedown period for this vehicle in terms of what's needed and how it works. But it's a lot cleaner in here. The reason I like this Walmart cot is I can fold it up and put it away. I don't want to be interviewing congressmen with my bed sitting here, you know, I just don't. And then I can stow the blankets and the pillow and everything. So it's just basically an office in here. So I'm excited about that. I got that squared away, but we couldn't get any electronic stuff done at all. And it was just, you know, we finally just gave up on some of the stuff that we were going to do. As far as the radios are concerned, I'm going to have somebody that really knows how to install, because then there's a whole antenna issue. Where to put the antennas? You know, we didn't want to drill holes in the roof, and it was funny. And by the way, as soon as I roll up, he runs out and he goes, you know, I don't want to drill holes in your roof. That's not what I'm... I was like, don't worry about it. It's funny. But what we shared, we had some interesting times and shared some interesting stories about days gone by. You know, I don't know how many people have friends that they haven't seen in 25 years. You know, I went to Steve's wedding, and we were fast friends when we were like 12 and 13 and little kids. And it's one of the few people in my life that has known me literally all my life, and vice versa. So it's a really cool relationship when you have friends. You know, and for me, it's man friends. You know, I have a feeling that a lot of men don't have a lot of friends. And I would have to say that that's true. I have friends from my work. I have professional friends, and they're good friends. We don't talk as much. And I think sometimes you leave friendships lay fallow because you just do. It's a life intervenes and things lay fallow and you forget to call each other and you don't call for a while. But I can count the number of my close friends probably on less than one hand. I have two or three really close friends that have known me since I was a kid, and they know what my deal is and I know what their deal is. And it is a great thing to be able to go and spend time with people that know you that well, because you're not still trying to establish a relationship. You are friends, and you have been friends, and you're going to be friends. And so you're not as worried about, and it's also cool because they're not family. And because they're not family, you don't have the baggage that comes with family. And it's also cool because Steve and Andy and I kind of ran together, and all of us experienced his dad as a scoutmaster. And then, of course, it was his dad, but it was great to have that conversation with him. But as far as the 100 pages of stuff that I read today, there's stuff going on, and I'll probably do a separate podcast about it. I mean, we are seeing continuing weird. I'm convinced that none of these economists or people really understand what's going on with the economy or even how to measure it. And it's so interesting, the reams of stuff. It's very seldom that you see somebody writing who really understands what's going on and doesn't repeat these time-honored truisms like consumers are 70% of the economy and things of that nature. It's continued. And I would say if there is a cloud on the horizon, it's what's going on with the economy. On the other hand, the economy could be doing very well. It could actually be stronger than what the numbers actually say. I will say I see a lot of new stuff. I'm in a brand new truck stop here in Crawfordsville. I see, a lot of new construction. I'll repeat this is a flat out lie that the United States has some kind of infrastructure problem. The only time that I rode on any highways or roads, they weren't even highways, that were rocky were the roads as soon as you lifted over from Illinois into Indiana, where we were on the south side of Chicago. They don't have the same priorities for their county roads as they do in Illinois. I don't know what that means, but they were a little bumpy. Once you get on, I just came down 41, and now I'm jumping on to 74, and I'm going to follow this on down to, I think, 40, and come across Tennessee and come up through Western Virginia. But the highways and the byways and the state roads, 41 is beautiful. I mean, 41 turns into 63 heading south on the spine along Indiana and Illinois border, and the highways are not falling apart in this country, even in the major cities. I don't see where they're getting this, that the highways are falling apart. So I'm going to continue to repeat that, but I'm not going to go through a whole long and involved explanation about the economy. I would say probably the other big story that's going on is the approval of this trade pact that Obama wants, that Republicans are voting for. You should check your congressman to find out how they intend to vote on this pact, because the chambers of Italian fascism and all the quote-unquote businessmen are trying to push for this. The problem is, and I'm not a fan of Julian Assange's, but he did post on WikiLeaks at least one part of the 25-part act that is being passed that the congressmen have to go down to the basement of the Capitol to read. And what he's saying is that this thing will regulate all sorts of things. This will regulate information flow. It has to do with how you build things and how you start businesses. It's very, very regulatory in its approach. It's a trade pact, but because 14 countries will approve it, it will be very difficult for Congress to reverse this. And I said a while back, giving this president fast-track authority on anything is dangerous and probably a mistake, and I stand by that. I don't even need to know what's in the trade pact bill to vote against it in terms of, President Obama and his view of what government's role is. I would be very... It's one of those bills that's not something that anybody should be voting for. I think they should just put it on hold until we get a new president. That's what I think. And I think that it should be an issue. And I think we should all be able to read it. And the reason, for those of you that don't know, the reason that they're saying that they can't publish it is because it's been negotiated in private, and if we publicize it, then it ruins our hand in the negotiation. I don't agree with that. I don't think there should ever be any public law considered in this country that isn't published and available for every citizen to read if they want. The other big thing going on is that the FBI apparently has been conducting ominous and evil surveillance over the cities. I mentioned in one of the podcasts the crazy radar track of this plane flying around the Twin Cities, and it turned out to be, in fact, the FBI doing surveillance. They have all kinds of really crazy equipment in there, and they're using they're using what appear to be Cessna 172s, but so-called private planes that are flying around conducting surveillance. And I noticed Al Franken is all about finding out from the FBI what's going on with that and why. And, you know, if you wanted to make hay with the libertarians and you were a Republican congressman, that's something that, you know, see, Franken is smart. He's on this stuff. And this is the kind of stuff that pulls in people in the center to these individual senators and congressmen. A bunch of students visited the Smitten Kitten, which is a sex store in Uptown. I've been in there. It's not like Sex World, where I don't think they would be taking students to Sex World. On the other hand, this is the school is the Gaia Democratic School, and so you can imagine what they're up to. But they were taking kids as young as 11 to the sex store to have a conversation about, you know, things. And I mean, I realize that the X-rated stuff supposedly, now the city is saying that Smitten Kitten didn't separate the X-rated stuff properly, but there's stuff in that store that I don't know that I would take an 11-year-old in that store. So that's a big controversy in the Twin Cities right now. And you know, the other thing that I want to quick mention is that the Republicans are talking about repurposing, for lack of a better term. They want to have a patch for Obamacare should the high court strike down. If they strike that down, then there's going to be people who are not going to be able to get coverage, who think that they're covered. And the Republicans want to pass a law that basically provides a patch for that. Why would the Republicans, who have been screaming and yelling about repealing the Affordable Care Act, want to do anything to further the Affordable Care Act? That's a question that I'd like to have answered. I'm sure that, you know, that's one of the questions that I'll be asking when I go to Washington. I want to find out what their logic on that is, because I don't see why they're trying to help the Affordable Care Act. And this goes to this whole thing that I've been saying. You know, a lot of these guys got elected by saying that they would vote to repeal the Affordable Care Act. Now, the rhetoric was repeal and replace. And you got to understand, repeal and replace is very difficult because that's a long process. So they can easily say, well, we tried and I didn't break my promise to you. But I'm willing to bet that the Republicans will try to fix the Affordable Care Act and not repeal it. My favorite Republican candidate, Jeb Bush, is saying, well, we can fix it because we know how to do these things. And this is what people, I think, really got to be careful about, is big government Republicans are, in my view, just as dangerous as Democrats. And that's about it. There's a lot of stuff out there that's just, you know, incendiary and bad analysis and, you know, stuff that is, it just gets in the way. And that's why I like being out here on the road and sitting in the vehicle doing my podcast this way, because it kind of helps when you read it, because I'm continuing to do my reading. I mean, everything I can do at home, I do here. But it helps put things in perspective when you're just kind of rolling along, looking at stuff and thinking about stuff. It helps put things in perspective. So what's the plan for the rest of the night? Well, I'm going to continue to drive. It is about 12:30. I'm not sure if we're on East Coast time or not, but we're in Crawfordsville, Indiana. It's about 12:30, so I'm going to continue to drive until 3 or 4, and hopefully I can find a Starbucks. Indianapolis is down the road about 4 or 5 miles. Well, no, I'm sorry, about an hour down the road. Hopefully I can find a Starbucks at some point at 3 or 4 or another location to upload the files from, and I will post a podcast for your morning drive, hopefully, for your Friday morning, and then I'll take a little nap on my brand new Walmart cot and REI air mattress, and be ready to head down to Virginia and Tennessee and Kentucky tomorrow. So thanks for listening to podcast 378, the Bob Davis Podcast. This one's sponsored by xgovernmentcars.com. Don't forget, they got the Chargers, the Impalas, the Expeditions, they got Yukons, they've got Crown Vics. This is the place to get one owner fleet and government maintained vehicles. They're great. I've had many of them. The ambulance is one of them. Cash deals direct from owner Ed Johnson. You got a 3-day satisfaction guarantee, financing for all levels of credit. And like I said to somebody, it was just, I was talking about this with Steve. I said, why would you buy one of these brand new SUVs? We passed a car dealership, and it's like, if you have a business, why would you spend $60,000-$70,000 for a brand new SUV when you can get an Expedition for, you know, a lot less, right? I don't know what he's charging for them these days, but you can get Yukons, Expeditions, whatever you want. Great cars. Don't forget, and you can check it out either on xgovernmentcars.com, the website, or, and you can apply for credit online safely and securely on the website as well. Or you can check it out yourself at 2420 Nevada Avenue North in Golden Valley, Minnesota. xgovernmentcars.com. The grand reopening event is on now. Let me see if I can get these Indiana State Troopers to take a look at the vehicle by using the bullhorn.
xgovernmentcars.com.
Well, I got to thank the digital sponsor, the Bob Davis Podcast.com, Mad Case Studios. Ken Madden, I know that you are loving these road trip podcasts, and I am too. I love road trips. Ken is a road tripper from way back. Mad K is going to be out at some of the antique auto shows this summer, especially the one at the big antique show at the State Fairgrounds, and I'll tell you more as we get closer to those events. Click on the banners for more information about these digital sponsors of the Bob Davis Podcast.com. Also, thank you for listening on Stitcher.com, which is an app for Android devices, iTunes, or TuneIn. Thanks for listening to the podcast right on the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. I know a lot of people do that. There are also two windows on thebobdavispodcast.com for players. BlogTalkRadio.com. You can either go to BlogTalkRadio.com and listen to my podcast there, or you can use that player or the link. Or you can listen to the podcast on TuneIn via the player from TuneIn as well. Just different ways to get the podcasts. And thank you for listening to the podcast any way that you can. Also want to thank Bernadette for sending me $50. Thanks for the donations. The deal is, if you see, look for the picture of the podcast ambulance. It's right there on the front page of the BobDavisPodcast.com. And under it is a big yellow donate button. So this thing is pretty much crowdfunded. So if you donate, it goes into diesel fuel, which, by the way, is very cheap right now, which is great, and Komodo Dragon Coffee. So all of the movements of the Podcast Command Vehicle Unit 8 is funded through your donations at thebobdavispodcast.com. And thank you so much for doing that. Thanks for the donations, and thanks for listening to Podcast 378. Let's get back out on the road trip. And my